Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com.
A production of Serotech Corporation, makers of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Jamie Pauls.
Welcome to Serotalk Podcast 163 for July 29th, 2013. I'm Jamie Pauls.
I'm Ricky Anger.
And I'm checking gold on Solera. Oh, wait, I'm Joe Steinkamp. Since our last podcast, there's been a Solera update. This is the big news for me this week. And
Step away from the iPad.
Thanks to Paul and all the guys over at Esper Labs for their time. And we've gotten a lot of comments about that on Twitter. So we hope to do more interviews like that and the one that Jamie did with Quasi and more.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to eat birthday cake today because it's the 23rd birthday of the ADA being signed as we record this today. So happy birthday, ADA. Americans with Disabilities Act. Yes.
I don't know what flavor the cake would be. What's an appropriate flavored cake for ADA?
What goes with legal briefs?
I don't know. I'd have to have Zantac with legal briefs. But,
yeah, exactly. I think it needs to be a layer cake with several different flavors because it's all inclusive and stuff.
I like that. That's good.
Rainbow icing. All right.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll definitely put a link in our show notes to some comments that President George Herbert Walker Bush had back in 1990, I guess. Yes, when he signed that legislation. So check that out. Yeah.
Talk about putting things in timely perspective. Good grief.
Oh, man. No kidding. Talking about perspective, we have our first article this week is by Chris Hofstadter, who is quite a prolific blogger, among other things, and has written some most fascinating and, I suppose, controversial articles in his day. This one is no exception. The Death of the Screen Reader, or The Death of Screen Reader Innovation, is actually the title of the article.
I think they both go hand in hand.
They kind of do. Chris brings up some interesting points. Basically, the idea that maybe things aren't, you know, the whole pioneer spirit of new features in screen readers isn't what it was at one time.
Yeah, and one thing that Chris points out here, and a lot of people sort of thought, oh, Chris, you're bragging on yourself, and you're saying that innovation died with your stepping away from Freedom Scientific. And that's not what he was saying at all. I think the point, and a very valid one that he was making, is that without direct and frequent input from blind people themselves, then you may see new features, but they may not necessarily be innovative features that blind people want or need. So when you take the blind person out of the equation, you're not going to get the same level of product for use by blind people as you do when you've got blind people sitting there saying, hey, I use this every day and this is what I need.
Right. Or I don't need this. Yeah.
Look at it from the point of mobiles. Some people are accusing Samsung and Apple for the exact same thing, that the love is gone, that there is no innovation in mobile, as kind of a parallel to the mainstream of what's going on here in this article. And there were a couple of vendors, I'm not going to name any names, but there were a couple of vendors at NFB that Ricky and I attended that were kind of not thrilled with some of the things that are happening with Apple and Braille. So there is some point to what he's saying here. However, I would also say that what WindowEyes did in the last release with safe mode hooking was pretty neat. And I think Setting Center, as much as some people, you know, kind of malign it, but I think JAWS' Setting Center was a good thing, although not truly innovative. But what it did, though, was kind of encapsulate all the things that have happened to JAWS over the last couple of years, which is a lot of them. And I also concur with him and his feeling about Eric Damry in that he is a power user, a god amongst men, because I have seen Eric troubleshoot live during demos and just really rock the house. And I have much respect for Eric. And so I think there is some corporate intrigue here, but at the same time, it's hard not to recognize that low vision technology is not very hackable. you can't necessarily go download a Topaz. And in the world of software, there are some dangers that you always have to be aware of. And I kind of understand the point of the authorization scheme here. And again, I'm just, this is my opinion. I'm not inflicting or saying anything out of school here. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot that you have to do in order to guarantee things. And I would also say that the largest user base for screen readers in some situations would be Windows and Microsoft Office. And with Windows going to a yearly schedule, with Microsoft Office doing kind of the same, there is going to be a lot of time of any development team given to making sure that the latest version of Windows and Office is working correctly. And that is going to stymie some things because you're going to try and get all that right. And that means a lot of QA time, a lot of dev time, a lot of public beta and testing, especially if they decide to do something different. And I think the rapid release schedule is going to affect any NVDA, any screen reader, period. That's just what's going to happen now. Facebook changes every 6 weeks. So does Mozilla. Mm-hmm. This is the world we live in now.
You know, in the length of time I've worked for Serotech, I've seen, I mean, let's say there's a user sitting there listening to this podcast saying, wow, the feature I really want in System Access Screen Reader is not here yet, and I'm really disappointed. And I get that. I hear that. But they really don't have any idea sometimes the things that development is working on. Windows 8 point whatever, like you just said, Joe, the latest Microsoft Office, maybe something is a service is going, you know, away, like MSN, Live Messenger or whatever. XP is going away soon. So many things for development to deal with and think about and kind of under the hood stuff that before we get to the fun stuff that the user can actually say, oh yeah, that's cool. That's a nice little bell and whistle
there.
Yeah,
you got to keep it functional.
Yeah.
Yeah. The XP battle is not going to be fun.
No.
If you are using an XP computer, you might seriously want to think about birthday, Christmas, whatever holiday you celebrate, the non-denominational holiday of choice for the fall, because right. You're going to need to get off XP. We're less than 240 days now. Microsoft has a countdown clock, and we've said it before, but I will make sure that we say it here again. Get off XP, because the hacks that are going to come are going to be unreal, and there's going to be nothing that's going to prevent them, because XP has to die. In order for screen readers to get better, we can't support 4 or 5 versions of an operating system anymore. Do you know that today is also the 20th birthday of Windows NT?
Wow. Is it really?
20
wow, I
years
remember
of Windows NT
4.0. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, think about how many versions of Microsoft Windows have been since then. It's just, it's going to be a lot of Windows 7 and up for the future. And Microsoft has been very good about that. And for us to have innovation again as screen readers, you know, makers and developers, we're going to have to look at dropping that line and saying, look, it's got to be Windows 7 and up. These tools are available. Things work out a lot better. And life moves on. It has been more than a decade of XP. It's time for it to go away.
One thing that is not going away, and in fact is getting a lot more popular, is the Square device and services to accept mobile payments on Android and iOS devices. The problem, though, is that using this has not been accessible thus far. And we talked about this a couple of months ago, and it looks like things are moving forward. Mika Paikala and others from the NFB of Massachusetts have kind of spearheaded this effort, and they are now in partnership with Square to improve its accessibility for blind users on Android and iOS.
Congrats to him. Remember when we heard this in Dallas at Computer Science last year?
Yes.
Some of the ideas that he had and kind of outlining it. And there were people in the audience who were not even familiar with these, you know, alternative payment programs, but he was very much on this needs to happen and this needs to work. So congrats and kudos. That is awesome.
Nicely done.
And awesome may be something you might say when you look at what's happening with the new HIMSS Braille Edge 40 executive products case. No, there's no way I can make this exciting. Sorry. There's a new products case.
It's a very practical
products.
Thing to have.
Actually,
though.
I know. I tried. I didn't. I admit there's nothing I could do here. I have an executive products case for my BookSense, and I adore it greatly. Got it actually the weekend well, the weekend before, because I actually had pre-ordered my book since. So they make some fine products and have a great partnership with Hims. And if you have one of these devices, definitely look into getting this case. And if you want to learn more about this, remember, we've got our NFB coverage all over the front page of iBlink Radio still, or it will soon to be in Summer Convention Audio along with our ACB footage. And in there is the Hims Part 1 and Part 2 presentations, and you can get an idea of what those devices look and feel and sound like.
And if you are a user of HumanWare products, especially the BrailleNode Apex and that line of devices, KeySoft 9.3 is now available. You can view DocX files, DOCX files. That would be Microsoft Word 2007 or 2010 on up. And you can definitely do some improved web browsing, that sort of thing. So they have done some great work as well with that operating system.
Well, it looks like the Austin Blackhawks are batting 1,000 or something like that. I should probably not try and make sports references, but...
You were doing okay there. 1,000's okay. Good.
They are going
to
the World
Series. Just don't say touchdown or field goal or anything like that. You're okay.
Hey, no. I did say bat, and bat goes with baseball, so I'm somewhere.
No, don't do that either.
The Austin Blackhawks headed to the World Series for Beat Baseball. It's kind of interesting because this team went to Taiwan at one point and taught people there to play Beat Baseball. And then Taiwan made it to the World Series and beat the Austin Blackhawks. So that
the
was kind
has
of
become
cool.
The master.
They taught them well, apparently.
Yes, they did. But the Blackhawks say, oh, no, we got it this year. We are going to take this thing home.
That's cool. And while waiting for that to transpire, and there's a great, great audio for NPR on that, by the way, on that last story. You could be kind of twiddling your thumbs thinking about security versus obscurity, or obscurity is security. If you're an Apple developer, that is.
Yeah.
At the time that we record, the Apple development site is still kind of wonky and has a status page about how wonky it actually is. This has actually caused some developers to get kind of freaked out because they're trying to do a lot of their updates and follow along right in the middle of a very important development cycle between Mavericks and iOS 7. So naturally, this is kind of the worst kind of timing that could happen for Apple and its development community. What is good to know is that Apple has said that they're going to revamp the entire site, make it a lot better. They recognize the issue because it's been made way transparent by the guy who actually brought it up. And he's talked a lot about how he feels kind of bad about it. Those are all links you can find on twitter.com/tripleclickhome. And Jamie, did you guys talk about this on the latest Triple?
We did, actually. We recorded this week, and that should be out very, very soon. And we did touch on this a little bit. Unfortunately, we didn't have Buddy to, he was not available to wax eloquent for us. I think Alina and John and I missed his presence on that podcast, but we did the best we could. So maybe by the time he joins us in August, maybe we'll have a little more perspective on this, and we can.
You didn't
even
offer him your teleportation device that brought your disembodied voice to the show last week.
You know, I really can be two places at once. I'm just cool that way. I think that's awesome.
Wow, the powers that we do not even perceive.
No,
that is
it's mine. Precious mine, yes.
Can you activate things from far away with your mind?
Well, you mean like a new iPhone? Not so much. And apparently Apple can't either. If you bought a new iPhone. Yeah, this has not been a good week for Apple. This week really kind of stinks for them, unfortunately.
The earnings call was pretty neat. We made lots of money, but yet things are kind of slowing down. I mean, iPhones are selling like hotcakes, but the rest of this stuff, don't look over here at Mac, iPad, iPod, any of that. No. iPhones are selling awesome. And, you know,
you can't
$147 million, you can say that.
Right. No, I'm not sure. Apparently, this is not related to the developer website thingy, or so they're saying.
But, exactly.
They're not really saying what the problem is, so who knows?
Pay no attention to that over there. Look over here. Look, shiny object. Look over here. No, everything's totally cool.
The activation server put in for vacation. It scheduled it ahead of time, so everything's really okay.
Yeah.
And we're staffing up. It's not like we're letting anybody go.
No.
That's right. Unlike... BlackBerry. Say goodbye
to the sad trombone.
Yeah. Say goodbye to 250 more employees because
you wanted
BlackBerry
that summer vacation.
Is doing such an awesome job.
Yes.
We're turning things around. And by turning things around, what we mean is like we're throwing people off this bus.
And more to come, apparently.
Yeah.
It's not over yet.
We wanted to save on telecommuting and gas prices and people coming in. And, well, we just made it a little easier for everyone by just saying, you know, we're going to make these apps. And maybe we don't need these research and development people anymore because there isn't really much to research in Research in Motion. Oh, wait, we're not called that anymore. Sorry.
No,
sorry.
We're not. Sorry. And I loved it that the article actually in its first sentence said BlackBerry, formerly RIM. Whereas usually they used to be,
you know,
Research in
Motion,
which, by the way, makes BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that was important fact-checking. That had to be there.
The artist formerly known as RIM.
What is BlackBerry?
They're doing...
formerly known as RIM, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Wow, that is just amazing. I wonder how many times they're going to update this iOS Android software, which is still supposed to come out at the end of the year. Maybe about as often as Internet Explorer. Yep, Internet Explorer 11, ladies and gentlemen, coming to a Windows 7 PC and up near you this fall. That's right, I said Windows 7. Remember, Windows 7 is going to exist until it becomes end of life in 2020. And therefore, Internet Explorer just seems to have to grow along with its wonderful counterpart in Windows 8.1. The developer edition of this, the preview, which usually means, well, beta, but anyway, the developer edition is currently available online now. Also, what rolled out this past week was Office 2010 Service Pack 2, a whopping 395 meg download, by the way. I haven't seen anything majorly changed as far as access goes with screen readers on Office 2010, but then again, I've only really been playing with it for a couple of days, so I'm hoping that there is some. With Internet Explorer 11, and maybe you guys can help me with this, one of the taglines here is more standards compliant. Whatever standards are these days.
Yeah, what standards? I mean, did they pick and choose or... I don't know. Does it mean we support HTML5 more better now or with the ARIA or something? Or is it just sort of, we're catching up to what
people
have done.
You read that W3C thing? No,
C3PO W3
thing? Yeah.
WCAG.
That just sounds even worse.
We put a bunch of acronyms together and we're supporting them now.
Someone forwarded us a website. We read it and we thought, oh, yeah, standards, those are cool. No, really. IE 10 is a lot
better. We've upped our standards, so up yours.
It could be. Raise the bar. Welcome to a cynical cast. And hi.
Yes, I'm so looking forward to Service Pack 2 of Office 2010. I don't really know what's in it, but I'm sure I'll install it because that's what you're supposed to do, right?
You're going to get a Windows update whether you want it or not.
That's right. It's coming to
it. It's an important update. Surprise.
Yes. No, I mean, you know, hey, look, it's good to always keep software up to date if possible.
Absolutely.
Obviously.
Absolutely.
Security holes and all that good stuff. So definitely.
That's what Bill Gates says anyway.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to come back and run Microsoft, don't you think?
Except he ain't going to do it. You know, this whole discussion of if so-and-so was here, things would be different. I mean, they're not.
There's a precedent for that. Apple. They kicked out Steve Jobs. He left, created Pixar. Let's ignore Next. And then came back to Apple, and that's when all the amazing stuff happened. So there is a little bit of a... I mean, I think that's what they're hoping with Michael Dell, although that stockholder battle is nasty, and he might not be able to come back and take over. But there is a bit of a first love syndrome going on with some founders that they're coming back. But I agree with Ricky here. I don't see that with Bill. Bill is extremely happy doing stuff with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Absolutely.
And Microsoft's way different than it was when he left. And I'm not sure that was so much true with Apple when Steve left. I mean, they didn't.
You didn't have Steve Ballmer to mess things up.
There is that. But I feel like, you know, in this article, it says we should be looking to the future. These companies aren't the same as when their founders left. And so when there is a management change, it doesn't need to be let's go back to the good old days. No, you gotta look forward.
The good old days before people started using mobile phones as their computer of choice. You know, my mom uses, and she is right in this cusp from what I was reading in the Facebook numbers, who also did extremely well during their earnings call. She uses her Android phone now exclusively for Facebook. She just doesn't even like to use the keyboard, mouse, and website anymore. She just finds it annoying. It's so interesting to hear that from somebody who is sighted, and apparently that seems to be, you know, the majority of users, more than 50% now, are using Facebook through their mobile devices.
If you're in the UK, you may not be singing that lovely Avenue Q song about what the internet is for anymore. It looks like the ISPs in the UK are going to implement some family-friendly filters. And these are going to be on by default, apparently, and you'll have to request that they be turned off. This is not like parental controls of any sort. It's more like whatever traffic comes into your modem and then goes to your mobile device or your machine or any of your machines on your network, pornography is going to be filtered out by default, whether that pornography is actually legal or not. You're not going to be able to see this sort of stuff unless, again, you lift these family-friendly filters from your particular account. So this is happening in the UK. They're also asking that search providers kind of get on board with this and say, hey, this is partly on you to filter out some of this content that people search for and not allow it to be displayed.
I'm trying to picture the phone call to my ISP provider. Yes, ma'am. Yes, I'm having a great day. I'm calling because I'd like to have that porn filter thing taken off my account, please.
Oh, so you would you?
Yes.
My cousin is coming to visit, yes. And he has requested.
He is a sect addict, and we're working him through this slowly, and we would definitely like that turned off permanently. Anyway, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, well. We need Steve Nutt here for that. We really Steve would make that sound so much better than what we just made it sound like.
Well, Steve, actually, maybe Steve himself will make the call and record it for us.
I would say to listen to Our Place for that, but I'm thinking that those of you who listen to ACB Radio in Our Place might not hear that anytime soon. But you can hear Steve on That Android Show talk about all the neat stuff that's still coming up. And in fact, there's a lot more to come. Find out about Seven, the Ragged Tiger, and Jamie's meditation techniques all here on Serotalk after the break.
Are you tired of browsing through thousands of sites just to find the news you want? What about recipes, shopping, radio stations? Wouldn't it be great if there was a single place where you could find all these things and a lot more? There is. Discover Samnet with the widest and most complete content ever assembled for the blind community. And speaking of community, you can use Samnet's voice chat, instant messaging, and users forums to communicate with family, friends, and others who share your interests. To learn more about Samnet, please visit www.serotech.com. That's www.serotech.com. Or call us toll-free at 866-202-0520. We're Serotech, the accessibility anywhere people.
Welcome back, everyone, to Serotalk. And believe it or not, even though we've had all this crazy banter, it's not been a slow news week. Google had a wonderful event in which they announced a lot of new stuff. But prior to that, Samsung had made the comment that they were going to step away from 4.2.2 and just go straight on to Android 4.3. Yep, Android 4.3 is real. And I keep refreshing my Nexus 7 waiting for it to happen.
Is it here yet?
No.
Is it here yet?
No, the last time you updated was 8:42 a.m. Stop bugging me. You're back again? Stop bugging me. It's not there yet. The images are available if you want to do it the non-accessible way, because it's a bit of a pain to download the image and do it without any talkback whatsoever. But if you have someone sighted that you can con into assisting you, you can do it if it has not hit you automatically by the time you hear this podcast. Along with that, the couple of days before, Motorola showed off a bunch of new phones. the Mini, the Max, and the Ultra. Form your own jokes here. these phones will sport 48-hour battery life, will use voice recognition by default. It's always on. I'm sure there's a way to turn that off in services. And are exclusive to Verizon, which is pretty Apple-ish and interesting. And those are available now. Various hands-on are available on the twitter.com/thatandroidshow website. And also, the Moto X is still to happen. There's an event to happen on August 1st, and this Moto X is a totally different phone that is unlike what Motorola has already released, and is the one that's built in the United States so far. And we'll know more about that probably on the next Sarah Talk. I'm interested to hear about that, because that's kind of the, I hate using this term, iPhone killer is the Moto X, and that it's been in development, and guys at Google have been sporting it, and there's been a little bit of stuff that's come out about new gestures, working with cameras. That all pales into comparison to the new Nexus 7. The Nexus 7 Gen 2, that's just really called the Nexus 7, by the way, starts in at 16 gig on board for $230, has an amazing pixel count, which is higher than the iPad and certainly a lot more than the iPad mini, sports a 5-megapixel camera on the back and hopefully a stronger one in the front, as Ricky and I have already played with those on that Android show in our Google Hangouts demo. Also, maybe, I don't know for sure, but man, I sure wish it had a proximity sensor, as we also have discussed on that Android
show. Ooh, that would be good.
Yeah, one of the downsides about tablets versus phones.
I don't know why they'd put one in, though, because are you going to be holding it up to your head or what? I don't know what they'd use
sure,
that
to make
sensor
calls.
For, but I still want it.
You saw that new Sony 6.7-inch phablet?
True.
It's entirely possible. It's, you know, hold a brick to your head. I mean, literally the size of a brick to the side of your head, which some people really, really do want. They really want to see Apple do that with the iPad mini and put a phone in it. That Leo Laporte is one of the biggest people about that. On and on and on. He's talked about it on MacBreak Weekly.
So would they make like headband accessories for it to hold it in place, you know?
I'm imagining the thing that the doctor wears with the light up on top, and there's a phablet up there, and you know, that would get heavy after a while. There's also the old Al Franken one-man portable team where he had the satellite dish on his head, and he would always call into Saturday Night Live, and if he turned his head slightly, he would break the beam for the upload to the studio. Okay, there's your EOL moment. Drink. Anyway, so new Nexus 7. Ricky, you and I have old Nexus 7s. Any of these specs make you want to just accidentally maybe drop your Nexus 7 and go, ooh, new one, or maybe gazelle your current Nexus 7?
Yeah, see, I would really like to have a new one because I have the 8GB, which didn't even exist after a while. And it'd be cool to have a little more space. I like the idea of having dual cameras on this thing because there are apps like Goggles and a few others that it would be very useful to have on the Nexus where you're not pointing the really awful front-facing camera at something and trying to tell what it is. You know,
somehow
it is
that works
faster.
With Goggles. I'm still not sure how, but it does.
Yeah. The thing is faster. It's, I'm assuming the form factor is the same.
Thinner bezel.
I would, okay.
Thinner bezel. There is a little bit thinner thickness, so they said during the press conference, which I have not fondled one yet, but I do wish to do so sometime soon. The new phones, lots of new phones. Jamie, you're AT&T, right?
No, I'm actually Verizon.
Okay, so now that you are Verizon, does the idea that these new phones coming to Verizon sound like a good idea when AT&T comes out and says, hey, you know what? We've had one of our better quarters, and it's thanks to Android because we sold a whole bunch of Android phones. And then Verizon saying, well, we sold a bunch of iPhones, but not as much as we're supposed to. So we're kind of stuck with a bunch of iPhones. Do you think this exclusivity stuff is a good idea?
Yeah, you know, it probably is for any of the phone makers, that especially if there's some struggle there. But I don't know. I really, because I've thought about this from both sides. I mean, I can see why it's a good thing for the developers, for the makers of the phones, but it kind of scares me to think that maybe my iPhone might go away. And when I think I want the new shiny iPhone, whatever it's going to be in at the end of the year.
Nope, you get a Droid.
That's right.
That's all we sell anymore.
That's
we
right.
have this
Sorry.
Exclusive deal, so you yeah. really want to buy this Droid. I'm just letting you know, it's really a great idea. You know, we have lots of them. We have lots of iPhones too, but we have lots of these because we have an exclusive partnership. I mean, certainly from the marketing perspective, that makes life a lot easier because you could say new Droid on Verizon. But Ricky, there is the flip-flop. You're on AT&T, and if you were to jump from AT&T to Verizon, would that be something you would consider now that you've had a Nexus 7? Or, you know, the iPhone ain't really going anywhere anytime soon in the U.S., although it's getting royally beaten internationally. That's what some of the Apple numbers showed.
Yeah, for me, I am perfectly happy with my Nexus as my Android device, and I've become quite accustomed to the iPhone as my phone, or rather as my thing that I do a whole lot of stuff on that can also take calls if I choose to accept them. So
you can do Google Hangouts. You can hold that up to your head. Everybody can see the side of your head with that camera. But I think platform agnostic is something that we all have to deal with now. I mean, anybody who says I just use one screen reader but has an iPhone is a little out of touch because you're technically using two screen readers. I think you have to keep aware of these things, especially with the brand new TalkBack has so many new features and is, I mean, literally once a month they're updating it.
Yeah, things are improving so much on Android these days. And so even if you bought a Nexus about a year ago, which that's about true for me, coming up in October will be my Nexus anniversary. But if you've done that, I don't know how I'm going to celebrate. I'll probably buy it a case or something. And
Chromecast.
There you go. Yes, I could buy a Chromecast. And that would be a super cheap thing to buy that's very, very cool. Only $35.
How much more would you pay?
Well, there's $99 for the Apple TV, or there's $50 for the Roku. And people
Ooh,
are saying, you know,
Roku
this.
Stock. Oh my gosh. Chromecast is, like Ricky was saying, this $35 dongle that has Wi-Fi, connects to the USB on your television, and has an HDMI.
And people are saying, well, this doesn't kill Apple TV and it doesn't kill Roku and all that stuff. And it doesn't, but it doesn't need to. There are some very cool things that this does. And for $35, it's kind of a no-brainer, especially when you consider the platform agnostic kind of thing we were talking about earlier. This is, you can be streaming from any number of different devices using any number of different operating systems, and this dongle is going to be able to handle that. Now, what it won't do is, right now you have, I think, 4 exclusive applications. You have YouTube, you have Chrome mirroring, where it's going to bring up the tab or whatever you're doing in Chrome on this big screen TV. And you also have Netflix and one other thing that I can't recall right now. So you don't see Hulu Plus. There's not Pandora and things like that yet. But remember that people develop for Chrome all the time. So you're going to be able to possibly use this Chrome mirroring feature to do a lot of the things that aren't native to it. They are releasing an SDK. So people are going to get to work on that right away. And it's kind of neat because remember the Nexus Q, the $350 thingy that was
JJ
around for
one,
a couple of months and then it was gone?
There's a little bit of Q here.
Yeah,
there is a little bit of Q here, and this doesn't kill off Google TV. In fact, there'll be an update later in the year that will work with Google TV. I also got a lot of questions on Twitter about this. The normal questions, which is it working with X or can it work with screen reader Y? Not having it yet, but reading reports so far, if you can use Chrome on your system of choice, then you will be able to use this because it talks back and forth with Chrome on your iOS, your Android, your Mac, your Windows 8 machine, what have you. So think about going to a hotel room, putting this in the USB, powering it up that way, sticking in the HDMI, maybe using your own VPN or your own hotspot, and being able to throw things up on the big screen the hotel room. I mean, that's better than maybe staring at your iPad or your Nexus 7. Or if you want, you actually can, you know, throw a website up there if you're low vision and you really need to see something. You know, you could use the 42-inch television in the room, and that's kind of exciting. And all of this could fit in a dongle or slide into your laptop bag.
Yeah, and if you want one, you're going to have to wait a little bit because they sold out real fast.
Well, you know, Joe, you talk about people on Twitter asking you questions and all that sort of thing, and I know you get a lot of that sort of thing. Have you ever had anyone say to you, I'm nervous about this cloud thing. I don't like this whole cloud business on the internet.
You know, it's funny you should say that because there's always a couple of Mac people that I follow who decide to do that whole, I'm leaving Google. I don't want to be a part of Google anymore. Some of that happened, mm-hmm. of course, after Prism. Good luck, because Apple also falls under Prism. But without getting into a conversation about that, which we said we wouldn't do on this show, because it's always changing and it gets way outside our knowledge base really quickly. I think some people forget that the cloud has existed in a way for a long time. Certainly AOL was technically the cloud, and you had to reach out to the internet. I remember when AOL said, now you can get to the internet through AOL, which is hysterical to think about. You were actually inside a network where your email and everything else existed, and then you got a ramp onto the information superhighway. There's a line for you, kids.
Yeah.
Yes. That just fills me with such nostalgic something or other.
Yeah, let's go build a house out of 3.5 floppy disks from AOL, shall we? It is weird to think, oh man, that makes me think PC Magazine is coming to a close. That's so weird. Anyway, it's weird to think that Hotmail has been around since like pre-1999.
And yeah,
people think about Gmail.
And that is totally cloud.
Was in beta forever, but we were using Yahoo Mail. In fact, some of the Yahoo services that they killed just recently had been around since the Alta Vista days. So we've been using it. We just never called it that.
Right. And the same is true for calendars. If you have a calendar on a device and your main PC, then yeah, you're using the cloud. And this is, again, another place where we need the disembodied voice of Buddy Brannon, because he has been preaching this for years. Oh, I hate the word cloud. Why do people call it that? The cloud's been around since the 70s, and now it's suddenly a buzzword. Buddy, we're sorry you're not here to rant. Maybe next time.
Well, coming up after the break, your emails and some calm kitty cats right here on the Sarah Talk Podcast.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hey, everybody. I'm Jamie Pauls from the Sarah Talk Podcast Network.
And I'm Joe Steinkamp from the Sarah Talk Podcast. And we are all over the place, aren't we, Jamie?
We certainly are. As a matter of fact, we are going to participate in an Access chat on August 6th. It's a Twitter chat, as a matter of fact. If you'd like to participate, you follow the hashtag AccessChat. It's sponsored by Fedora Outlier. That's www.fedora.com. So when is this going to take place, you ask? Well, it starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, again on August the 6th. Joe, what else do we have coming up?
Well, we're also going to be on Accessible World. Lisa Sanglinger, our own Lisa, is going to be there on August 19th. And that's going to be sometime around, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And you can find that in the Pat Price Tech Talk Training Room. Oh my gosh, lots of T's. And again, accessibleworld.com. Find Lisa talking about the new SAMNet Socializer. In fact, you can hear about that right now on, oh my gosh, Main Menu. Check out Main Menu. We were featured in June and July's episodes. And don't forget, all of our convention audio is now up. 5 amazing specials plus 2 specials on the HIMSS event. Check it out at www.cerotalk.com.
If you want to keep up to date with everything going on with the Cerotalk Podcast Network, follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/Cerotalk. Welcome back to Cerotalk Podcast 163, and it's time once again for the mailbag. Let's see what's in there.
Alrighty, what kind of goodies do we have here? Ooh, somebody sent us chocolate.
Summer.
Oh, wait,
ooh,
I didn't.
Ride the mailbag, surfboard. Hanging 10 with letters.
My now first skydive, I was attached to a mailbag and thrown out of a plane. It was so fun. So let's see, what have we here? We have an email from Mike Arrigo, and you'll want to check the show notes for this one because Mike indicates that he was having a great time and laughing right along with us when we were talking about him being buried under cell phones. And he gives us a brief glimpse into his cell phone closet. He's got Symbian phones, Windows phones, Android phones, and of course, a couple of iPhones, actually. So go and check the show notes to see his current list of phones that are someday going to be in the Mike Arrigo Museum of Phones.
Telefonica Museum Dilotique.
The funny thing was, he's not sure that's all of his inventory. That's just what he could.
Of course not. No.
These are the ones I had near to hand. I think I've got a storage locker somewhere.
This is Excel spreadsheet 1. I have this other workbook over here. No, dude, that's awesome. Somebody's got to do it. I'm glad it's you, man. Yes. Good.
He does. He says there's, for everything out there, there is a collector of said thing, and his is phones. I think it's cool.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I also am sincere. I'm glad you did the Nearby Explorer thing versus the Seeing Eye thing, and we were happy to link to that.
The first time I ever learned about a Mac and was even halfway interested in using VoiceOver, it was Mike Arrigo's podcast that caught my attention. Yep. So there you go.
And if you listen to, you know, Mike or David Woodbridge or Neil Yours, let these guys know, because that's a lot of work. Yeah, I'm just saying, as someone who sometimes does these reviews, it takes a bunch to do that for free. And sometimes your thanks is all these guys get. So definitely reach out to them and tell them how much you appreciate it.
Right on. Next up, we've got an email from Janine Stanley replying to our discussion about wearable technology for dogs. And she agrees with Lisa about maybe this might not be so great for just a blind service dog handler to get signals about what's about to happen. She thinks that those signals wouldn't really come fast enough. You know, now the dog's got to stop and do some kind of thing to alert the handler, whereas, you know, why does this need to take the place of just old-fashioned communication between handler and dog? She does agree that this could be good for things like blood sugar level or seizure alerts. And it's interesting because she tells a little story about one of her friends who was working with a commercial dog trainer to find other things for her dog to do because the dog was, you know, very, very got bored easily. And they were trying to train the dog to press a button for a specific thing. And the dog did manage to take a picture of itself. Mostly the tongue showed in the picture, but that was kind of cool.
Benji needs to learn how to do this for the remote. He truly does get upset if the television isn't on and will lay on the couch
to learn how to just
and look at the television and just stare at it like, why is that not on? That really needs to be, why is my television not on and I am not looking at it? And if you walk into the room, he gives you this guilty kind of, dude, why is that? Put on the Avengers. You know I like the Avengers. I want to watch the Avengers. Serious, that's his new favorite movie right now.
That's his thing. Okay.
Yeah, that's his new one. We don't bark at that as much, but we are intensely watching it. We still bark at like Doctor Who or anything with horses. Mm-hmm. Those are great. The Western Channel. It's a good thing I don't have neighbors nearby.
Exactly. Janine closes by talking about some of the things that you talked about, Joe, where you have the kind of geolocation things where you might have the service relief areas marked or the dog buddy finder so that you could be, you know, I don't have to sniff all these dogs. I just need to go locate the one I care about. Or, oh no, that's that dog that always barks and freaks out. So I'm going to not go into this room.
Kind of like you that Sendero kind of app, wearable tank. Crossed between sniff with friends, I guess. That
there you go.
Something. Here's my other $1 million idea. I was actually talking about this before we came back from break. I was telling Ricky that it would be neat maybe to have vibration in the harness on the handle. And if you wanted to turn left, you push the left side of the harness handle and that would vibrate the left side of the dog. And that would be like a turn signal on a car. Now, again, this just wild idea. I'm not saying that this is a great idea. I'm just saying be kind of neat, especially for people who have lost their vision, who could actually kind of sort of get used to the idea of driving, but driving an animal instead of a vehicle per se. And again, just crazy ideas. This is what I come up with when we're not on microphone. But
then you press the brake button so the dog stops and then the gas means forward. All right.
But yeah. What happens if you do the emergency blinkers where it vibrates both sides at once? Maybe that would be for when you go to park at a relief area, you know?
Yeah. But that's signal for dance around and jump around like an idiot to entertain people.
Actually, that's when other dogs are sniffing. Then you vibrate both sides and that's when...
Like, ooh, I don't like that. Okay, I'm walking away here.
No, we've slowed down. Sorry, this dog's talking to this dog. And yeah, it's always cool at convention to see littermates see each other. Like they hadn't seen each other in years. Yeah. And then all of a sudden both are working and two people, whether they know each other or not, get drugged into one another. So, dude, I haven't seen you since we were whelped. How have you been? You know, it's
man, you smell great.
Oh, man, I totally use this new shampoo. My owner does this, and I get brushed 3 times a day. Oh, it's just cool.
Nails looking good. Mm-hmm. Got that shiny coat. Man. So anyway, last but not least.
That's called not having a transition in podcast terms.
That's right.
Some things you just can't transition out of.
The whoosh will not save us.
We could have been there talking for another 2 hours about dogs and conventions. So there was just emergency, get us out of this.
Louise, help us.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Good old blind educator here to save the day. He has sent an email responding to the roundabout story we had for kids learning to actually handwrite things rather than copying from Wikipedia and the like. He came across this article that was just hilarious where a guy at UNC was... college football player and so on, and he had an essay to write, so he said, you know what, I'm going to go over here to the paper where these really great essays by 11-year-olds were published, and I'm just going to copy that.
You know, I'm not judging, but with today's athletic program and NFL stars, it could be possible that he was writing on an 11-year-old level, whether he copied it or not. Not pointing at any particular NFL players, but...
not so much, but still. No,
but that's
hysterical.
I mean,
the 11-year-olds, their parents have got to be proud. Like, hey, you wrote college-level material.
My child is writing on a college level for a pro athlete. That doesn't necessarily look good on the back of a bumper sticker, but you're not going to cover up my child is on the honor roll with that, but...
But yeah, kids, don't do this at home. Write your own stuff.
Did you guys see the link that we kicked out on twitter.com/Sarotalk about the iOS handwriting rotor, the handwriting in iOS 7?
Yeah, what exactly is the deal with that? Is this handwriting like you used to see on the old Palm devices?
Something, but I mean, we can't speculate too much because we're developers and iOS 7 isn't released, but... Follow Sarotalk if you don't, or even if you don't use Twitter, you can actually just browse it with your screen reader by going to twitter.com/Sarotalk, because a lot of stories that get into this podcast, but a whole lot more that don't, are actually on that feed. And also from Twitter, Jan Brown responded to our feedback special. And that was so long ago that she left that. I don't know that she remembered she'd left us that iReport that we used to show contributing points of view or alternating points of view. And Jan, it's all good. No worries. We just thought that was really important that people hear these things because the library discussion isn't going to go away. The Miami mayor was saying how he kind of sort of doesn't see a future for public libraries. And that's beyond, you know, anything that we use. This is on a real mainstream level. So I think the whole concept of library services, especially in small towns, is an endangered species. Mm-hmm. Whereas the major papers are falling apart, but local newspapers are rising because people still want that local information. They just want it in a form that they like. So it's okay, Jan. We're still thrilled with any viewpoints on anything we talk about here on Sarotalk.
Resources at sarotalk.com is the email address to use. We certainly like to hear from you. Leave an iReport on your iOS or your Android device from iBlink Radio. And there's a lot of great content on iBlink Radio always, especially right now. All of the convention specials are up there, the HIMSS presentations that we covered, the AT trainers from NFB, just a lot of great.
Who's eating bad food.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And EOL Extra is up there. So grab yourself a copy of iBlink Radio and just kind of run your finger down that front page and just listen. You could spend a long time doing that. Your entire weekend could be just a marathon of podcast listening.
Dogs, you could hear Eddie on that, actually, on the EOL
Extra. You can, yeah.
Eddie makes a surprise appearance, or at least his tail does.
It's time now for Roundabout. Wow, this is one of those stories. When I first saw it, it kind of hit a little close to home. It's talking about meditating, you know, without sitting still. In other words, you think of meditating as sitting on the floor or in a nice, comfortable chair, and just
yes.
But so here's the scenario that I will put to you, and then I will kind of lead us into what the article is telling us here. I wake up of a morning. I jump up. It's time to get ready, do my thing.
Wake up, get out of bed. Dragged a comb across your head,
nice.
Ran downstairs to have a cup. Yeah. Somebody spoke and you went into a dream?
Yeah, that.
Okay.
Absolutely. That's okay. So I sit down for my coffee and I'm thinking ahead the entire day. What do I need to do? You know, what's coming up? Blah, blah, blah. Don't even really taste the coffee. Just sort of drinking it. So this article is saying, you know what? You can stop that noise in your brain and just savor the moment for a little bit. Enjoy that cup of coffee. Enjoy that waffle or piece of toast, whatever you're eating. Enjoy that. If you're going to go out and sit outside for a half hour on lunch break, actually take the time to smell the air and listen to the birds. So you don't necessarily need to do high power meditation if that's not your thing. You can get some great benefit from just kind of, quote, smelling the roses, unquote.
Yeah, I think we all need to do a little more of this. And I'm like you, I'll wake up, I'll be having my coffee, and I'll grab my phone and be checking email as I've had coffee. So I know what's coming up in the day. And, oh, then I got to do this, and then I got to do that. And, you know, oh, it's lunchtime. Now it's time to load the dishwasher. And as I'm doing that, I'm thinking about, all right, I got this appointment at 1. And, you know, there is never a moment where it's, okay, I'm sitting here and I am doing only one thing and thinking about only that one thing.
I used to do this when I had a daily commute, a 1 hour ride on the number one in Austin. And I used to look forward to that, you know, because it would be that moment where I could just zone, just totally, you know, stand at the bus stop, not think about anything. Or I had a mile and a half walk home when I got off the 392. And I used to adore it. I used to look forward to being able to just get out there, practice with my cane, weather permitting, and, you know, reading with the book sense or catching up on a podcast. Or it was just that alone me time that I really, really adored because I was still sort of multitasking. I was still practicing. I was still keeping my mobility skills up. And I was still, you know, reading or doing something. And I would actually get kind of depressed if I got sucked into a conversation on the bus because I was kind of like, dude, you're intruding. Just Stay over there. Yeah. Although this time of year, I used to call armpit season because this was, you know, Austin, 105 degree heat, and people would hold on to the bars in the bus. And when you, they give your seat, they give you a seat on the bus. If you're blind, a lot of people tend to move and let you sit on the bus in the front so that way you can hear the driver, which is really nice and really wonderful. But then they stand up in front of you with no deodorant, and that can sometimes be...
You don't want to meditate on that.
No. No. You don't.
No. So I looked very forward to winters in Austin, but summer was called armpit season, as people in the office knew. And that's how show titles are born.
Yeah, right.
And also, one of the neat parts about summer is people would wear the most outlandish things they should probably never wear. And people on the bus would be helpful enough to then describe it to me. Not that I cared, but somebody would go, oh, child, you should not wear that. Or those tiger stripes don't go with those polka dots.
Tiger stripes are great in anything, surely. Sure. Well, at least on tigers, they're great.
Agreed. Yeah. Would you pet a tiger?
I've never touched a tiger, though. I've never pet a tiger.
I'd like to.
I would love to. Mm-hmm. And some kids in Oregon got to do this. The tigers had to be sedated because they were getting shots, I think, or checkups or something like that. And so they were already happy kitty, sleepy kitty. And
purr.
They...
Actually,
as long
that's
as
called,
they're not saying nom, nom, nom.
Chuffing, I believe, is the term for tiger noises. Chuffing.
Okay, yeah.
Chuffing?
Yes. Awesome.
It's kind of
chuff,
a...
yeah.
It sounds like they're trying to clear their throat.
Soft tiger, warm tiger.
Kind of wish I hadn't done that now, but it's too late, isn't it?
Okay, I want Jamie on my Jeopardy team. Jamie's coming over here.
Yeah. It's great to know.
Did you know that years ago we played Trivial Pursuit, and it was, you know, a group of kittens was called a Kindle, and somebody was trying to give a clue, and it said, sound like wood. And I was like, how does Kindle sound like wood?
Woodchuck? No.
Made of wood? That's better.
There's only one part of this article that bothers me a little bit, and that is that the children got to touch the razor-sharp claws. Now, here's the problem I have with that. You touch my feet, I'm going to jerk. Right?
Yeah.
Even if I'm asleep, I'm going to, wait, what is that? And so you reach out and you touch
really
this tiger
dance.
Claw and you know.
What if they jerk? Yeah. And those things are not like you're not going to get a little scratch.
No.
You're going to be kind of in trouble.
Yeah.
Years ago, the blind community in Houston was awesome because I got to like skate with Peggy Fleming at the Ice Capades and all this other stuff. But one of the things that we got to do through the Delta Gamma Foundation and some other great foundations in Houston was go to Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus, and I got to meet Gunther Gable Williams. And he took me into the lion cage, and I got to feel where the lions sit on the pedestals when he's cracking the whip and getting them to go through stuff.
Oh, wow.
And while those aren't tigers, the claws are kind of the same, and to feel the gouges that those animals
put
into the wood and sometimes metal on those platforms was trippy. I mean, just really trippy. Other than I'm standing in the center ring of Barnum and Bailey Circus looking up at the summit, that was kind of cool. But yeah, to go in there and touch that and have him explain to me some of that. And I often thought of that later when Siegfried and Roy had that unfortunate accident, you know, because these are animals and they do have their own will and opinions of their own. So, but it's cool because these kids got to have an experience that I sort of had when I was a kid and it stayed with me. So I think that's awesome.
There's a place my wife and I went to with some friends last summer. It's called Turpentine Creek. It's in Eureka Springs area in Arkansas. It's a wildlife refuge, and it's for animals that have been abused mostly. And it's amazing the exotic animal trade in this country where people think that they can take a wild animal and raise it as a pet. And the first thing they do is declaw them, and that is very painful for them.
Yeah.
Causes them to like walk on their wrists more or less.
Heights.
So these animals, one of the worst stories I heard was a police officer who thought it would be cool to have a panther in the back of his car, and the panther attacked him, so he pulled its teeth out with a pair of pliers.
No.
So that is the kind of thing those people, they take these animals and then care for them and put them in as natural a place as they can. But my wife fell in love with a tiger named Zeus, who apparently was one of the most aggressive animals on the compound. The staff were like, yeah, he's a real sweet kitty. Sure.
And she's like, he's great.
Yes, I could tame him. I could pet him. Yeah. But they had an animal named Bam Bam, and I think it was a bear, and he had like taken a barrel that he played with and had actually managed to break the concrete in his pen by slamming this thing on the ground so many times they had to replace the concrete. It's like these animals. There was a family that had a tiger that they were raising him, and when they came home he had disassembled the recliner in their front room. He had eaten the recliner. So
I never ever wanted to go to like Lion Country Safari, but my parents took me and I was never comfortable in the car. And in fact, when I saw Jurassic Park, I often have flashbacks to Lion Country Safari and things attacking vehicles. I don't know why. It's just one of those weird things that stays with you. I don't know. I mean, I've petted animals and stuff before in that kind of way, but I, man, you either really do well at it or you get a show on like the Learning Channel or Animal Planet, or you're like, you know, right behind Swamp People.
Yes.
And I say that as someone from Louisiana. Don't write in cards and letters. I'm fully aware of my Cajun background. Don't.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Well, on that note, we'd love to hear your thoughts about wild animals. Do you have any stories for us? What animals have you petted, touched, held, et cetera, et cetera? I did pet a lion once that was a baby lion that the guy was getting ready to send to the zoo. It was on a log chain. I think maybe that was probably not the smartest thing I've ever done, but anyway, I did it.
And you didn't pet those snakes, so I
have petted snakes. I have touched snakes. Not no rattlers. I've touched a python or two. Joe goes screeching off into the other room.
I've touched a snake too, but it's it wasn't a like poisonous snake.
No,
no. What's the matter with you people?
They're
snakes
all scaly
think two
and,
things. You are the big no food that gives them food. You are not food. I don't want to.
Oh, it was a small snake, and it was all like smooth and scaly. And depending on what the temperature
I touch
is,
an emery
it's either
board
like all
before
cold
I do that.
Or really warm. Yeah.
That's it. I'm out. Bye. See everybody next week. Bye. Good night. Tip your waitresses.
Before you go, however,
go look for a snake.
We have a demo from Miss Lisa Salinger on using the sleep timer or the alarm on your iPhone app, kind of as a sleep timer. It's pretty cool, actually. She'll demonstrate it better than I can explain it. But check it out right after we bid you goodbye. And until next time, have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
Hello, I'm Lisa Salinger, and I'm here today to tell you about a feature for the iDevices that many people request, not knowing that it already exists. In iOS 6, released last fall, you now have access to a sleep timer. However, it's not referred to as a sleep timer. And that's where some of the confusion takes place. Let's have a look.
Roll clock, tab, 1 of 4.
I'm in the standard clock app, and I have 4 tabs along the bottom. World clock, alarm, stopwatch, and timer. And the place where I want to be is the timer.
Selected, timer, tab, 4, selected, timer, tab.
It was already selected, but if it were not, I would double tap to select it. And it is now in view on my device. In this case, I am using an iPhone 4, and this will work properly on any of the devices running iOS 6 or later. So the first option I have is a picker, and it allows me to choose how many hours I want. In this case, I'm not going to choose any hours.
0 hours. Picker item. Adjustable.
So I'm going to leave that alone. I'm just flicking right and left in this particular case, so I'm going to flick right again.
30 minutes. Speaker item. Adjustable.
And I have it set for 30 minutes right now. For the sake of this demonstration, I'm going to take that down to 1 minute. You can't time particular seconds, so I couldn't, for example, say that I want a 20-second timer. But I can set it for as little as 1 minute. Of course, if you're using it as a sleep timer, you're going to want it a little bit longer than that. So this is my picker, and I can flick down with one finger.
29 minutes, 28 minutes, 27 minutes.
Or if I want to move a little faster, I can flick down with three fingers, and that will move me in increments of 8.
27 minutes. Center of screen, 19 minutes. 11 minutes. 3 minutes. 55 minutes.
And if you go too far, no worries, it wraps around, and then all you have to do is flick up.
56 minutes, 57 minutes, 58 minutes, 59 minutes, 1 minute.
And so there I am at 1 minute. Flicking right again, we'll hear...
When timer ends, Saint Elmo's Fire, official recording, Universal Music, button.
When timer ends, and then it lists the particular ringtone that I have playing. So let's double tap this option because this is where we want to go to set the particular functionality that I'd like to show you.
When timer ends, cancel button.
If I double tap on the cancel button, which is at the top of the screen, it's as far as you can go if you swipe left, and double tapping on that will mean that no action is taken. So instead, I'm going to flick right.
When timer ends, heading.
And this is just my heading, when timer ends.
Set button.
Then we have the set button, and that's basically like done or finish.
Buy more tones.
And then we have an option where we can buy more ringtones if we want to further personalize our timer. Now, you'll see if you go through this on your own that there may be quite a lot in here. Ringtones include any that have been purchased through iTunes, any that have been made either by you or for you, and any that came with your device. So I'm going to flick right once more.
Ringtones, heading, hero, album version.
Make that twice, once past the ringtones heading, and now I'm on the list of ringtones. Now, you can touch the bottom of the screen with three fingers, and that will sometimes take you to the bottom. It's supposed to take you to the bottom or the top. I do it very little because I don't find that it works consistently. What does work consistently is to flick up with three fingers. So I'm going to do that.
Rows 11 to 22 of 50, rows 22 to 34 of, rows 34 to 40, rows 40, rows 47 to 57 of 57.
And I'm going to keep doing it until I get to the end, which I have because it said rows 47 to 57 of 57.
Xylophone.
Now, I'm touching near the bottom of the phone, and the one that I landed on is called xylophone. So I know from that I'm near the end of the alphabet. So I'm going to flick right.
Stop playing.
And I have an option that says stop playing. And this is what I want. You can use this for many things. If you want to listen to audio while getting ready for work and you know that you have only a half an hour, you can set it for a half an hour. If you want to listen to something before you fall asleep, but you don't want to lose your place in the book, you can set it to stop playing after a certain amount of time. One important thing to keep in mind, however, is that not all apps will lock the screen. For example, the other week I was listening to a book and I set it to turn off after a certain period of time. And when I woke up in the morning, I found that my screen had not locked because that particular app did not lock once it stopped playing. So you do need to make sure that your app will indeed lock or that you have a way to dock your device, or you could have a rather dead or nearly dead battery in the morning. The other thing to be aware of is some apps do have their own built-in sleep timers. However, if this is not the case with the app that you're using, this tends to be a pretty good solution. So,
stop playing.
Found the stop playing option. I want to double tap on that.
Selected. Stop playing.
That selects it. Now I'm going to go back up to the top of my screen.
Cancel. Pinball. Cancel. Button.
I'm going to flick right again.
When timer ends, heading, set, button.
And I'm going to find my set button, and I'm going to double tap it.
0 hours. Speaker item. Adjustable.
Now, from the standpoint of swiping left and right, I am at the first item on my device, and I'm going to just flick right to review what choices I have already made. It's set for 0 hours.
1 minute. Speaker item. Adjustable.
1 minute.
When timer ends, stop playing button.
When the timer ends, it's set to stop playing.
Start button.
There is my start button. After that, I then have my tabs. It's also a good thing to note that in the alarm, you can go into the options to customize the alarm sound, and you can choose a song or a ringtone. It's kind of nice that in the alarm portion of the app, you are not limited to just that particular restriction that it must be a ringtone. You can have it be a ringtone or a song. Anyway, we have set everything the way that we like it. We are on the start button. I'm going to double tap that. Now,
59 seconds remaining.
After a minute, my timer will shut off.
When timer ends, stop playing. 51 seconds. When timer ends, cancel button. Pause button.
I have a cancel button, which will cancel the whole thing, or it will pause it. But to accurately demonstrate this, let's play some music.
App switcher, music.
And I already have the song I want to play.
Screen locked.
So as you heard, the music stopped and the screen locked. I demonstrated this with music, but it will also work with longer clips, of course. It will work with an entire music playlist. It will also work with spoken audio, internet radio, and audio that you would listen to through iBooks or similar apps. Because there is such a large variety of things that you can do with this particular bit of functionality, it's possible that's why Apple didn't refer to it as a sleep timer to begin with. Either way, I hope you have found the tip here both helpful and fun. Thank you for listening. For the Serotalk Podcast Network, I'm Lisa Salinger.
You've been listening to Serotalk. Visit us at www.serotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@serotalk.com. Send us an iReport with iBlink Radio, available in the Apple App Store and the Android Market. Or leave a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB. That's 2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us next week as we explore all that life and the internet have to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life. We'll